Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. You found it. I'm jazzed and I'm pumped for tonight's show, man. We have a very, very cool guest. My vape is filled with the essence of my enemies. The coffee's hot, and I'm excited. We're in for a night of rock and roll and metal, and I'm just very, very excited. We've got a fantastic band on tonight, and the founder and guitarist of said band, Seventh of Never, we've got Mr. Richie Tibbergen with us. Richie, how are you, my friend?
I'm well, Jamie. How's it going, man?
I'm doing all right. Man, so you guys are out of St. Louis area, right?
Yes, lifelong St. Louisans. Go Blues!
Right. I love it. That's a fun town. I grew up in Metro Detroit, and people are always like, oh, wasn't Detroit? Yes, it was, but that added to some of the fun. Every time I visited St. Louis, I felt a similar vibe, but I always have a good time, you know? It's been a while since I've been to either of those cities, but I've always dug St. Louis, man. Always, a lot of interesting people.
Yeah, you know,
cool people.
Yeah, interesting is a great way to put it, man. And like you said, you know, with the Detroit faction in St. Louis, we're a couple of dirty birds, man. I mean, you got to roll up your sleeves and get with it to live in either one of those cities. So the Red Wings and the Blues. I'm talking hockey right now because we're going to the Cup. Hell yeah! So,
I'm telling you, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
We're very jealous. I moved to South Florida a few years ago, and I'm not putting them down. I can't do it because, my future father-in-law and mother-in-law are big Panthers fans down here. But it's, you know, I try to get into it, but it's hard because the Panthers just, It's great when your team is doing something. You know what I mean? Well, besides losing. They try, but man,
oh, Jamie, you're preaching to the choir, brother. You're preaching to the choir. It's been 49 years since we've been to the Cubs. So, yeah. And you know what? As far as Florida hockey goes, I don't know how you guys can keep the ice frozen. Yikes.
Yeah, I agree. To be honest, that's one of the reasons I like to go because it's, you know, it's indoors and it's cool. And I don't know, though, it's still $17 for a thing of nachos. But anyway, I always have a good time. So tell me a little bit about yourself, Richie. Were you always a rocker, musician growing up and whatnot? Did you know this is what you were going to be doing?
Yeah, to the dismay of everyone, not my parents, they were really cool. They totally supported everything I did. And so, yeah, from early on, it was just my thing. And I think that is with anybody who pursues music, as long as I have, it's just kind of a DNA type of thing. So yeah, to my financial detriment, here I am.
Again, my friend, preaching to the choir. I'm not in the music business. I'm a painter by trade. I paint pictures of people. And I hear you. But I'll tell you, growing up, I'm a little older, probably a little more down the way than you. But I grew up in the 80s, and everybody I knew growing up, man, wanted to do what you are doing now. That was the dream, man. I don't think I had a friend that didn't have, you know, dreams of, oh, I'm going to be the next Randy. It was like Jukebox Hero with Foreigner, only they didn't do it.
Right on.
You know?
Yeah, and you know what, man? And, And what a great decade that was for that very dream, Jamie. I mean, you know, it was such a happier time then, and the music reflected that. We get that a lot with the people that are finding us out there. They're seeing our music, they're buying our stuff online, and they tend to, when they comment on it, they tend to pick up an 80s or a retro kind of vibe with our metal. And so, yeah, we cut my teeth on the Iron Maiden, the Anthrax, the early Metallica, and there's a lot of those roots that we just can't get away from. So it's inherent, it's built into our music, and, you know, it's not the Van Halen drink in the hand, toes in the sand rock and roll, but there's definitely a retro vibe to what we're doing. We're unapologetically tuned to 440. We don't tune down, and we don't talk a whole lot about this downtrodden, you know, everybody hates me, right. I'm going to eat some worms kind of thing. I don't know. You'll hear for yourself, I guess. You're going to spin something?
I am. And matter of fact, what a better way to start the show off. I've got the entire album uploaded. I don't know. Normally we play, you know, one to four tracks or whatnot, which we will do tonight. But I didn't know which one you guys were promoting and whatnot. So I just said, you know what, I'm going to upload the whole album. And I figured we'd just go,
you know what,
play what you wanted to play.
Yeah, so the thing is, and I don't know if you've listened to it front to back or not, Jamie, but it kind of plays in succession. So there's no gap time between the tracks. It's kind of like a concept record without being a concept record.
Cool.
All the tunes flow together, and there's a theme that kind of follows through. So I would recommend that if anybody's streaming it or downloading it, that they make sure that they get the whole thing, because it really lends itself to the, you know, not a whole lot of people are doing that anymore as far as making records
No.
that you want to listen to from, you know, everything's, we're in this easy, this 99-cent download a hit song kind of thing world, and we didn't approach this record that way at all.
True artists. I love it. I think it's brilliant, and I think more artists should do that. I've always been, again, I'm an old man, but, you know, so I cut my teeth. I liked the concept, the whole, it was almost ritualistic, man. I'd get some money from, you know, whatever, and I'd go down to the record store, and there was usually some cat that was working there that, you know, had a PhD in musicology, you know, that would say, hey, check this out, you know, and you'd go home you know, put that on and immerse yourself, almost akin to like a drug experience or something, a trip, I will say, a trip. You would immerse yourself
Absolutely.
Into an album, and you don't
Absolutely.
Have to.
And you know what? I recommend that to anybody who might be entertained and inclined to get this record, The Theory of Evolution, as it's called. It's a front to back kind of earphone record. Like if you want to, we bring back a whole lot of stereophonics and stuff. There's two guitar players and we both play lead and we do a lot of harmony lead. And so, and then there's also kinds of just a ton of, for lack of a better comparison, like the Pink Floyd, Queensryche type of subliminal stuff going on all over this record. So yeah, you want to slap in your ear pods and listen to this thing front to back.
Absolutely. You know what? I'll do one better. Go on eBay and buy one of those. You find them like from the 70s, those big honking ones that just cover either side of your head. You'll look like Princess Leia when you have them on. But man, it is the right way to listen to, you know, find yourself a comfy chair and, you know.
Yep. Yep.
Get your libations
in hand.
And.
Absolutely, dude. I think we should hang. I'm gonna have to come see you down there.
I'm telling you, when the weather gets bad, you know, you're welcome anytime. Hey, you know, and it's always hot in the summer, but it's always nice at the beach. Let's play a track. What should we start with? First track, just to give people a taste.
All right, so check it out. If the first track is an instrumental, it's not that long, and it bleeds right into the second track. My recommendation would be to go straight to what you could consider the title track, something that they would pull off here as far as a single, and it's a song called Evolution. It's track 3 that you have. And, you know, yeah, so it would probably serve as like maybe the first single that they would rip from this.
Cool. Well, here it is, everybody. This is Evolution. This is Seventh of Never. Check this out. You're going to be blown away. This whole, really, you need to listen to the whole album. Exactly like Richie's saying. That's what I've been, I've been painted this all week long. But it's, this is fantastic. Here's track 3, Evolution. Check this out. We'll be right back. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. That was Evolution, Seventh of Never, the new album, off the new album, The Theory of Evolution, or Theory of Evolution, I should say. We've got on us right now Richie, lead guitar and one of the original founding members of Seventh of Never. Richie, that's fantastic, man.
Thank you, my friend. We're pretty proud. You know, it's years and years in the making, and so to actually find each other again after all these years and put out something.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Elvay Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com. to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books, like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
You know, we were kind of talking off air, and is this cool for me just to rant a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Let's go. Let's do it. It's all good.
Yeah,
you know, Richie, and don't worry about anything. We're on the internet, so anything goes, man. Anything goes.
Well, you know, these interwebs, they're part of what brought they're huge into what brought Seventh and Never back together after all these years. So I want people to like to completely ignore the timeline, because otherwise they'll think that we're a bunch of old crusty curmudgeons.
Right.
But we were pretty full of ourselves and on our way to fame and fortune literally 20 years ago, when your friend Allison discovered us back in the day. And we were opening up here in St. Louis. We were an original band opening up for all kinds of national acts that came through, and things happen in life, and the wheels sort of came off this thing. We went our separate ways, and with the advent of the internet and social media, we found each other all again, after 20 years, and sort of just threw it out there to everybody that, hey, why are we not doing this again? And everybody was like, well, I don't know. Let's go. And so we got back in the room together again, and we realized when we did that we didn't want to really blow the rust off the old songs. We felt like the thing that we loved most about what we did was writing music together. So we started from scratch, and we wrote this album front to back. And that song you just played, Evolution, was the first song, first offering that I brought to the fold in that meeting. And so here we are.
Well, that's fantastic, man. That's fantastic. And Allison, who we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, of course, is the owner and founder of Metal Babe Mayhem, tonight's official sponsor. And people who've listened to the show know that, she knows everybody in the business. And I don't want to embarrass her too much, but we were talking about having you guys on the show, and she was just, I mean, you guys are such a big, I don't know if you realize, but such a big part of her her younger days, and she's still just so in love with your music and everything, and it's just, it's so cool to see, you know, it's so cool.
You know, and that's, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. No, go ahead, go ahead.
No, I want to join in that shout out to her because, it's the reason why we're talking to you tonight, and the fact that we had such an impact on her that long ago is just really important. It's why we do what we do, and that's why we write the music that we do, because there are people as obscure and like sort of finite. For her to appreciate this type of music, this brand of music, that I don't know if you want to call it progressive. We don't really label ourselves, but for her to be that passionate about what we did then and then again now is just really awesome. So what's up, Allison?
That's right. You know, and you know, Richie, it is so true too. I was just at, I have a neighbor where in the neighborhood we live, who had it was his 54th birthday, had a party, you know, backyard cocktail type party thing across the street. And of course I wandered over there, as I said, cocktail party. So I'm there, baby. But it was so funny.
Right,
you know, we were all, a bunch of people, and we're all sitting around bullshitting and stuff. And his wife and a couple of her girlfriends, because his wife had made this playlist. I'm like, man, this is fantastic. I don't know what radio station you got on, but this is fantastic. It was just all this old rock and stuff, and not old, but stuff from my youth in the 80s and whatnot. And, when everything was real going big time. And she goes, no, I made this playlist. And then that started the whole conversation. Every one of these women reverted back to their teenage years where they had the big giant hair and, high heels with little ruffle socks and the whole bit, man, they just started telling story and their faces lit up, and it was just, I heard all about the drummer from Skid Row. They met him at one point, it was just all these stories. And it was fascinating because I'm like, that's still out there. And there's not only that, like a band like yours, not only are there people that are so into that, there's a good chance their kids are too. You know what I mean? It amazes me. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, so you know what? I mean, it's so right. You know what? The fantastic thing. My son is a certifiable genius, and so the fact that he remotely appreciates some of the progressive metal bands, you know, that I like, it's really, really cool. I mean, any dad's going to be proud that, he's, grooving on some of your stuff.
Oh,
his first concert he's ever gone to, I took him to Dream Theater, and, which is, shut the front door. I mean, you can hear that all over our stuff. I steal everything I possibly can. And we had probably one of our coolest father-son events that night that we went to that show. It was tremendous. So yeah, man. Good music is good music. I don't care what it is. It transcends generations when it just makes good sense. You know. So again, I can get into a lot of people. Again, try to they tend to gravitate towards our nostalgia flake that we have within our stuff. We're unapologetic about having that flavor. I mean, we're, you know, we're a bunch of dudes that grew up writing our songs in the 80s.
Your music definitely isn't dated. Your music isn't dated, though. I don't want people to get that impression, and I don't think they have that. You know, they heard Evolution. That's not a dated track. None of this on this album is dated. It doesn't sound like, oh, well, that could have been out, you know, in 1989 or something. No, not at all. It's totally fresh, but it does. I like the term you used, flavor. It's got that flavor to it, but it's definitely new, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, you know, I would. Well, it, not only does it make sense, Jamie, but what I probably see through is a lot of bands who intentionally run away from their influences and run away from the things that got them into music in the first place. And they deliberately write songs that are manufactured and are catering to a current demographic of listener. And I give that the sniff test, and it fails more often than not. So again, we're unapologetically who we are.
It's so true. You know, and it's funny in the art world, in my game, when you go to art school, one of the first things they do is they take you to an art museum and they say, okay, you see that Monet there, knock one out just like it. And people are like, well, why would I want to paint like him? I'm like, and what they don't get at first, nobody gets at first, is you're not learning to paint like him. You're learning the techniques and stuff he used. So when you paint your own stuff, you have a whole tool belt of tools to use. And
absolutely. One of the greatest quotes I've ever heard. Was from Steve Vai, and I'm not like, you know, over the top, you know, monster fan or whatever. Obviously, I have to be. He's Steve freaking Vai. But one of the great things he ever said it's kind of a prerequisite, eh? But he said, the thing that you need to do is learn theory and everything you possibly can about the fretboard, about the mechanics of the guitar, and about music theory. And then when it comes time to play, you put it in your back pocket and you play with your heart and soul, because now you've got the vocabulary to properly express yourself, and you let your spirit take over. And I think that's in and of itself just what it's supposed to be about.
Genius quote. And it's so true. And it doesn't matter what type of art you're doing, or music or whatever, you know, you have to know your craft. And that's, I think, and I don't want me to get on a soapbox, but it annoys me, especially in music, with my musician friends. And, you know, you meet young people, and we live in this world of, you know, The Voice and American Idol and all this kind of stuff, where they think there's a shortcut. And I know a lot of people in the music business, there ain't no shortcuts. You've got to put in the time, man. You've got to learn how to do it and work your ass. And not just on that, even on the business side of things, you know, you have to learn.
Oh, absolutely.
This is
a whole
thing. You can't just, show up and be, I'm going to be the next Randy Rhoads, and everything falls into place. That may, I mean, maybe that does happen. I not to anybody I've ever known. They work their ass.
Right.
You know, I don't know. Let me ask you, as a guitar player, were you always a guitar player? Like when you were a kid and stuff, did you, was that the first instrument you got involved in, or was there a clarinet or something before that?
Oh, you're funny. So yeah, man. I mean, so Ace Frehley, was more of a religious presence in my life than Jesus Christ was growing up. It all started from there, and I did, man. I started playing guitar. I was frustrated right out of the gate. I dabbled with other instruments, and then the parents didn't really care for my experimentation with drums, right? So I came full circle. I came back to the guitar, and I've been there ever since. Now, that said, I I play many, many instruments, and so it that lends itself to the fact that the music that you're hearing on this record, I've pretty much written collectively myself. I mean, I couldn't do it without my band. I don't want to, because these guys are an absolute blessing to me. I have another guitar player to write for, a bass player, a drummer, a singer, and now our new addition, Dan Ells. He wasn't part of the original five piece, but we have this brilliant keyboard player that can now take some more ideas that are crammed into my head and bring them to fruition. So it's just a great petri dish of, oh my God, what can I do next? And so started out on guitar, but I play it all and I write it all, and I just it's like a huge science experiment for me, and I'm rabid. I can't get enough of it. Wait till you hear the next record. I mean, I'd like to play a few more off this one, but wow, we're in the shop right now, and like, so this record has really been kind of a stepping stone for us, right? So it's like,
right,
we got our first debut record out and getting a whole lot of great vibes. We just got on today and looked. We're streaming worldwide from everywhere, from New Zealand to Egypt to freaking the Ukraine.
Awesome.
People are listening to this. And that's so cool, because that couldn't have happened in our first rendition of this band 20 years ago when we were, you know, the babies we were. That wasn't even a viable consideration. But now that it is, and with shows like yours, my friend, it just, we're so very, very grateful and just exploding to try to just bring as much music as we possibly can to fans of what we do.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened, because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com.
It's amazing. I'm telling you, we were talking off mic about the show and whatnot before, and I started doing this a couple years ago, and I think it was in our second year of doing it, I got an email from a guy, and he's like, you know, hey, I really like your show, and blah, blah, blah. I've got a band. That's how they always start. You know, I've got a band, and more often than not, it's pretty cool stuff. So I'm like, oh, well, I got to check this out. He's like, can we get on the show? And it turns out, his band, they were a death metal band. Okay. Let's check it out. They were in, where the hell were they at? Madagascar or someplace? someplace in Africa. And I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, well, that's different. You don't hear that every day. And I was like, well, this is going to be
you know, before I even listen to music, I'm like, oh, I wonder if they've got like African beats and stuff. You know, I'm picturing all this in my head. They didn't at all. They were all African, but man, they it was melt your face off death metal music. I was like, what?
Nice.
Yes, get them on the show. But it just goes to show
very cool.
that, you know, we live in a globe, you know, more so now that, I mean, we always have, of course, but the people talk to each other and they check stuff out. Like you said, people, some kid in New Zealand is listening to your music, you know, right when you put it out and stuff. How cool is that? You're definitely right. Back in the 80s, that would take a while for that track to, if it did at all, make its way over to the other side of the planet. Today, it just happens. Boom. There you go. You know, it boggles my mind. I think it's very cool.
Well, right. I mean, you and I are, you know, who knows who and where on this globe of ours are listening to us right now. And I think, you know, what's great about that, and just let me, like, run you up the flagpole one more time, Jamie, because you're taking this time out of your life to do this, and you don't know me from Adam. But whether or not you consider it to be a benefit to your show or my band, it's
oh, absolutely.
Literally, it's very, very cool. So I just, hats off and about that. You've got a vehicle. Do you have a similar vehicle for your artwork?
Oh yeah. Well, kind of, you know, the internet, it's funny because, in the art world, people had the preconception of the gallery. You know, well, you get a gallery to like your stuff, they'll put it in there, and you know, you'll be the next Andy Warhol and make $1 million. Well, that doesn't really, you know, what they miss is you have to pay the gallery their chunk. You know, when you get in there, they don't do, nobody works
sure.
for free, you know. And what the internet did in my business, at least, is I don't have to use a gallery. I just sell directly to, you know, the person that wants it on their wall. And I keep all the pieces of the pie. I do work with a couple different galleries just if I want to hit a certain market or whatnot. But it's all strategic, you know, it's not necessity. And I think with like self distribution with music, like and with your band and whatnot, it's kind of the same thing. You are going and you don't have, number one, a big debt you have to pay back to a record company. Everybody thinks record deals are just everybody not in the business, I should say, think that's just the end all be all. You know, oh, I got to get a record deal and then I'm dating models and flying in planes. That may happen.
Exactly.
You got to pay.
Yeah. Yeah.
People don't realize that, you know.
Yeah.
But,
oh, yeah. Yeah. Completely.
Like, you guys can finish a track or an album or whatnot and then put it out there. The problem, same thing in the art world, is the water gets a little muddy. There's a lot of albums out there. So you have to do other stuff to, like being on the show, promote your,
right.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So speaking of which, what a great, we're so self-sufficient in this band. I want to give a shout out to my longtime friend, bass player, Dave Bozer. He's the bass player on the record, mm-hmm. and Dan Coleman, the lead singer. These two guys literally recorded and engineered and produced this record. We recorded it. We did the drum tracks at my warehouse of my place of employment, my day gig, and then we took all that down the street to Dave's place. And put the, you know, everything else together, the vocal tracks, the guitar tracks. We had an isolated situation. And so this thing, if you're listening to this record, man, I mean, it holds up. I'll put it up against anything that's out there right now from a higher dollar, you know, production standpoint. I mean, from in here, from track to track, there's a little bit of difference because it happened over a period of time. But by and large, just really stoked and really proud of the guys for being able to do what they did on, you know, we got champagne taste out of a beer budget, man. And it's just, I'm really stoked about it.
That is awesome. You know, again, though, you know, it's very easy these days, and I don't want to get on a big rant or anything, but it's because it happened to me. It happened to me. You know, everything is such doom and gloom as far as pop culture and the news. You know, it affects it. People look at the newspaper and they're like, oh, this, you want to throw your hands up. It's just, you know, shit show all around. And every day,
right.
You know, a nonstop one. And the cool thing is like we were talking, we live in an age of wonder right now. You know, here you are, you've got this band, and the thing is, and I don't want to label you either, but metal guys, especially progressive metal guys, are like, in my mind, the ones I've known, they're like composers almost. You know, it's very true.
Right, right.
Hear the nuance of every instrument and where it is, its position, and all, you know, it's. It amazes me, but here you have this you know, the painting you want to paint in your head, and you can do it and do it well with the technology the age we live in. That didn't exist 20 years ago. You know, it really didn't. Not without a lot
of
money.
Well, sure, without a doubt. I mean, you know, I've got a whole lot of music in my head. And to get that to manifest, you know, out not only on record, but even rudimentarily in a rehearsal space where you're trying to explain this part to one, you know, one of your buddies and this, you know, and then to get it to coalesce and come together. Well, again, that's what this is all about. I mean, in that capacity, but to get it to come to fruition on disc is really just where it's all about. I don't care if five people hear it or 5 million. This has been a true labor of love and a testament to what this band is all about. In fact, when you talk about, you know, technology being able to help sort of get your ideas across, there's a track on here that I'd love to play next. I'm not telling you.
Yeah, let's play it.
It's your show.
No. Let's play it.
Yeah, so this song, The Anointed One, if you can maybe pull that up, it was a last ditch effort. Like, it wasn't even going to make the record, and it turned out to be actually one of my favorites. I don't know about the band, one of my favorites. Because we at that point had finally really dialed in kick drum sounds, snares, and different things, and If I can reflect on this, I've never written a song this way before. Usually it's the riff, it's the guitar riff, the crunch, the beat or whatever. This song I wrote on my bike. I was riding through a long trail. I did about 12, 15 miles that day. And I just started writing from a poetry standpoint. And I thought it was cool. And I said, well, I've now got to go back and retrofit this. I got to, you know, retro-engineer this into a piece of music. And I don't really operate that way, but I did, and it made the record, and it's just really cool. I think it's cool.
That's fantastic. Here it is, everybody. We're going to play it. This is Seventh of Never, The Anointed One. Check this out. There you go, folks. The Anointed One, Seventh of Never. We've got Richie Tibergen on with us, lead guitarist. One of the lead guitarists. One of two lead guitarists, right? Or is just two guitarists and you both play lead? I don't know how that goes.
Yeah.
I don't know what the bill is.
Yeah, so we do. We both play lead. We both play all of it. And we've been together since high school. And
nice.
And so, we get told quite a bit that we're like sort of 10 fingers, 10 toes, you know, of a hand. And right. Really, I can't imagine playing with anybody else. He's my mentor. He's my toxic twin. We're inseparable.
Well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month. After $31.25 per month credit, apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another. A friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rocks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
I want to let people know we have links. We have 2 links on our show page right now. We've got the SomethingNeverBand.com link, which is their the band's main website. And we also have their Facebook link up, Facebook.com/SeventhOfNever. And you can get there. But if you go to the SomethingNeverBand.com page and go to their official page, there's links to their other social media as well. And you guys are on all of it, right? Instagram and all that kind of stuff too.
Yeah, I don't really hang out anywhere else than the Facebook world because, you know, I'm getting old and, the kids don't want me. Yeah, they don't really want me hanging around their Instagram.
It's so true. That's the standard joke around here. I keep telling people, like my girl Danny and everybody, I'm like, I got to hire a 14-year-old girl with a cell phone, man, just to keep up with all this. You know, it's
right.
And there's a new one every week. Everybody's like, well, are you on WhatsApp? I'm like, what the hell is a WhatsApp? No, I'm too busy as it is now. I will tell you, Richie,
you know,
this is no lie. People don't realize this. And again, I'm an old man, so maybe there's, you know, a slow factor involved. I'm sure there is. But 2.5 hours daily of my life is social media updates. And it's, I don't mind doing it because it makes me money. So I'm getting paid to do it in a roundabout way. But man, it is like, it's akin to friends I've had who work a long way away and they're like, oh, I hate that drive. I'm sitting in traffic for 3 hours. That's what social media to me is. I'm sitting in traffic for hours.
You know, you should feel really good about yourself, Jamie, because the 2.5 hours that I spend on social media is a complete waste of time and money. So you're doing better than I am.
I hear. Sometimes it feels that way. Oh my gosh. It's. I try to keep up with. You know, the funny thing is, though, it's all the time people are kind of laughing at me because I don't use a. People are like, oh, do you have, you know, just look at it on your phone. I don't have a phone. I don't use. I got a phone that's plugged into the wall. I've got one that's into the computer here, but I don't carry one around or anything, you know, and it's not for any like, oh, the government's watching or any craziness like that. It's just I'm cheap. What do I need to pay another $100 a month for? I could spend that doing other stuff. And
you're really revealing yourself. Are you like a Flintstone or something? Is that
the reality is what happened? I was around when the digital camera revolution happened, and I used to go out all the time. We were talking off mic about it. I used to go out a lot, and at the time, one of my little things is I spent $1,000 because that's what they ran about that time on this fancy digital camera. And I go to clubs and take pictures of everybody there, and then we post them on the website. It drew traffic to the website. Great plan. Problem is, after you've had a couple shots of Jaeger or something, I would sit that camera down. I would put one through a dryer one time, a washing machine one time. And after about the third one at $1,000 a pop, I said, well, I don't need this. This is, we got to find something else.
Yeah.
I think that would happen with the phone. I'm terrible with stuff like that. But you're used to instruments and expensive guitars and stuff, so you know how to take care of electronics. So I get where you're coming from. You know.
Yeah. Well, no, I've spilled many of the Jaeger down my expensive instruments, so I'm feeling you on that one for sure.
It happens. I was just talking to a friend of mine. Let me ask you this. Now you're a guitar guy, so you probably have a bunch of guitars, or I imagine some nice guitars that you use. This is your business after all. I was talking to a friend of mine, and he was going on tour, and he had an expensive guitar that they screwed up. Like he checked it on the airplane, and I remember like looking out the window at these guys throwing bags, and I'm like, I wouldn't want a $10,000 guitar on an airplane, you know. Does that kind of stuff happen?
You know, the only thing I can think of, man, is that may be a huge reason why Bruce Dickinson and Iron Maiden decided to just fly their own stuff.
Right.
They got their own plane, and they're just like, screw the TSA. Nobody is going to jack up my stuff anymore. We're going to handle it ourselves. If we go down in a Brazilian soccer field somewhere, so be it. But at least it'll be our fault. Right.
Oh man, that's awesome. Well, I mean, you guys play out. Are you playing out right now to support this album and whatnot? Or are you just, I know it's kind of, well, no, it's summer now. You guys are probably playing out. I was going to say it's still studio time, right? Or are you guys in the studio right now? You said working on the new album.
So D, all the above. We're playing some smaller stuff in and around the St. Louis area, really working out bugs in our set and trying to because what we've been doing, if you listen to the Theory of Evolution in its entirety, we've been playing that album front to back like that because it flows, it doesn't stop. If you listen to it, it flows. But we've also been wanting to work in tracks from the new record here and there. So we've been playing around town here and there doing that to try to figure out, just get the flow. We're looking at doing an official CD release at one of the larger venues in town, but that's kind of a mum's the word thing at the moment. Danny Johnson, my other guitar player, not my other guitar player, my hero, and Damon Whitman, our drummer extraordinaire, the three of us have been involved in an Iron Maiden tribute band for the last like 6-7 years. Yeah, and we're actually, it's the bomb, dude. Like, we have an Eddie and everything, right? And so we do really well. We only play a couple of times in the bi-state area here because you can't really, you know, take a tribute band out and run it in the ground and break it off. So when we do play, we garner a huge attendance and it's well received. So that takes up, you know, a little bit of time, but by and large, Seventh of Never is more than anything else just a songwriting juggernaut. Like, we don't, it just, it's incessant and it's coming out of every pore. And so that's what we're doing right now. We'll go out and take the occasional gig for, you know, fronting another band or whatever. We really sneak around a little bit. Our wonderful, wonderful faithfuls, will, you know, just track us down and find us playing at the most obscure, you know, small places, just to get kind of a, But nothing that's you know, breaking the bank or anything. I mean, we're just we're excited to be creating music again, and obviously for opportunities like this to share it with as many people as we can.
That's so cool. I like seeing a band in it. Sometimes one of my when I was in college, I went to college in Boston, and there was a famous recording. It still is, I believe, a famous recording studio there called the Phoenix, and. Bowie he was working on a new album. He's doing some recording there. I don't think he recorded the whole album, but he recorded some stuff there. He was in town doing that. And I was coming home from class, and I'll never forget. I had like $30 in my pocket, and that was grocery money for the week. And there was a barker outside this club called Mamakins, and he said, "Hey," he goes, "you look like, you know, because I'm a weird art student." He goes, "You look like a Bowie fan." I'm like, "Yeah, man, of course." And he's like, "He's playing tonight. He's trying out some new stuff that he was working on in the studio. And there's only like 120 people. That's it, you know?" And I'm like, "Well, what's the cover for that?" And he's like, $25. And I'm like, "Well, I can pay that and get a beer that I could nurse through the whole show. I don't need this week," you know? And it was phenomenal. It was one of the best nights of my life. But I like a small, intimate venue sometimes, because you're used to going to see these bands and you know, and the big events and whatnot, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But man, if you're lucky enough to catch, and you have a story that no one will ever believe, I bet there's people out there. Fast forward 5 years, they'll say, "Oh yeah, I saw Seventh and Never down at you know, such and such." Everybody will go, "Yeah, whatever, Mike. Have another beer here, because I don't think that's, you know." You need to work on that story.
Well, yeah,
a little,
you know,
more.
What? That's funny that you say that. Our friend Allison, who we were the aforementioned mayhem metal babe herself, she saw us, I think, for the first time. We opened up for Extreme at Mississippi Nights here in St. Louis. So it was a pretty decent concert venue. I don't know, maybe a 3,000 seater, It was our inaugural show. And
really?
So you can imagine, you can imagine, you know, here we are, babies, you know, fronting a band, you know, that Nuno Bettencourt, and you've got nothing but a bunch of dudes essentially, you know, lined up in the crowd with their arms folded, waiting for, you know, guitar god Nuno Bettencourt to come out, and me and Danny are up there knocking knees. Oh yeah, we're knocking knees and just, you know, but it was awesome. We pulled it off, and that kind of started this whole ball rolling. And Allison, I guess, could attest to that. I mean, she's been a fan, you know, this long. Based off, you know, that launch. So, yeah.
No, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. Yeah, she's awesome. And she's very, very cool. And we have a link up to her webpage as well on her show page, folks, metalbabemayhem.com. You can get there. They got all kinds of cool. If you're a rocker, man, they've got you covered. Guys and girls, it's, you know, not a problem. They got really cool stuff there. So check that out as well. Richie, I have to ask, you mentioned it earlier. We were talking, and it slipped out a little bit, that you're working on new material for Seventh of Never. I don't want to hold your feet to the fire or anything, but selfishly, I want to know, because I dig your stuff so much, I want to hear more. Any idea when you think you a plan on when that'll be ready for the public?
Wow, yes. Said feet to said fire. Not at all, man. Not at all. Because if yesterday could not be soon enough for me or the guys. But in all actuality, and it's going
to
be quite the endeavor. So we're trying to take it up a notch, even from this record. We're trying to do something, not the other side of the coin, but we're really in an experimental mode with this. And now, so the first record was written primarily without a keyboard player. And
okay.
So myself and Dan Coleman, our singer, took care of the majority of the keyboards just as filler stuff to kind of fill in holes. And we didn't get Dan Ells, our keyboard player, our virtuoso, into the mix until very late in the game. And as a matter of fact, this next song that I think we're hopefully going to feature here soon will showcase his wizardry. But so now that we're writing this next record, we have him in that capacity, right? So we have him as
nice.
Part of the ingredient. And so now I'm firing on all cylinders as a songwriter. I'm just like, the sky's the limit. And, you know, I'm just inventing stupid stuff to do, you know?
Like a composer.
Yes. I'd be lying to you, man, if I gave you a date, but we don't want it to go into 2020 because there's a huge election going on then, and we don't want to be outshined by any of that. So let's get this off the table while we can, right?
I hear you, and it's smart, you know, and it's cool that you're aware of that. So many other people don't look at the long road, you know what I mean, and. It's you've obviously been in this game a while, so you know how to do it and do it well. Youngsters out there, get out your pad and pencils and start taking notes. This is how you do things.
I was just gonna say, I've also got many lessons of what not to do as well, if you want to cover those.
I took that class.
Right?
Oh, man. Sometimes, and you know, it's funny. The biggest lesson in that world of making mistakes and whatnot is you don't get mad about it. You learn from it. You're like, oh, why didn't I see that before? You know, well, that cost me $1,000. And be thankful it wasn't $1,100, you know? And it was only $1,000.
Exactly.
Because it could have been worse. And the universe loves irony. So, you know, it happens.
Right.
Which is this next song? I want to hear it because I want to hear his stuff, man. I think I know which one it is.
Okay.
Go ahead and tell me.
All right. So So how very, very apropos headed into this Memorial Day weekend that I get the opportunity to share this song. This is, it's a song called Stolen Valor. And so Dan, speaking of our keyboard player, gets to play this ridiculously cool keyboard solo. It's the only song on the record that doesn't have guitar solos. Because we, you know, been a guitar-dominated band for so long, but yeah, we just totally threw him the proverbial bone on this one. But that said, the subject matter, again, our singer's very articulate. I think people can hear every word that he sings in this, and you don't need the lyric sheet, but it's very poignant going into this Memorial Day weekend that we honor our veterans, both active, serving, and though also specifically the ones that paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country.
Very well spoken. Very, very cool. Here it is, folks. This is Seventh of Never, Stolen Valor. And there it was, folks. That was Stolen Valor, Seventh of Never. Fantastic track. And as Richie, as you said, very apropos for this this weekend. Let me ask you. Now, here you are, you know, rock guy. It's Memorial Day weekend. Do you have a big, you know, are you eating barbecue and all? And you're in St. Louis. You got to be barbecuing this weekend, right?
You know what? I've got to throw props at my lovely bride, Christina. You can go a lot of places here in St. Louis and get some really great barbecue, but nowhere better than my backyard. She is a chef, and you don't even have to take my word for it, brother. Get on Facebook and look, because I share her stuff on a nightly basis. And I take tons of heat from everybody who sees it. They're like, how are you not 400 pounds? She's amazing.
Jealous.
Yeah, dude, you should be, brother. You should be, man, because she's just a rock star. But no, as far as the weekend goes, we're probably not going to take in a whole lot of those festivities because my son, genius, brilliant son is graduating high school on Sunday. So that's our focus.
All right. He made it through. He made it through, and that's fantastic. That's fantastic. And be sure to let him know, you know, it's all smooth sailing. It's all easy breezy from here. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Just don't buy a guitar. Don't be a musician, and everything will be just fine, buddy.
That's right. Oh man, that's funny. Hey, before we're gonna wrap things up here, but before we do, I want to give a big shout out to just got a message from Sean Holder, and he's really enjoying the show, and I guess he grew up with you at high school, so wild times, he says. Sean Holder,
man,
thanks for listening.
That's fantastic, Sean. Hey, buddy. Sean and I and a mutual friend, Tim Schmidt, we skipped high school on, I think, January 9th in 1987. We skipped high school and froze to death in Camaro as we camped out all day to see Metallica, Wasp, and Armored Saint in St. Louis here. Yeah, it was like a general admission show, so we had to just camp out and, like, make sure that we got as close as we possibly could. So, mad love to my bro, Sean.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Well, Richie, I want to thank you again for taking time out of your schedule and whatnot. I know it's, you know, coming up on a crazy weekend and everything. I imagine there's lots going on in your house with your boy graduating and what have you. That's a big deal, man. That's pretty cool. But thank you so much for taking time to be on the show. You're awesome. And I'm going to tell you this. I have a feeling you already know this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Keep doing what you're doing, man, because, you know, whether it was 20 years ago or today, you're real, real good at what you do. It's awesome.
Jamie, thank you so much for what's great, kind words, man. I really appreciate that. I just want to give a shout out to Damon, Danny, Dan, Dave, and Dan, my bandmates, and also Dan's sister. We didn't play the track tonight, but there's a song on there called Burn the Witch, and she portrays Jezebel. Dan's sister did just an amazing job on that record. Cassie, just all my bandmates, thanks so much. And Jamie, again, thank you, and thank Allison for this opportunity, man.
Absolutely. Hey, also, while we're doing shout-outs, I don't know who we need to shout-out to or whatnot, but, man, the cover art, and, again, I'm a visual guy, so, you know, the cover art of The Theory of Evolution, that is cool as hell. That tree with the hand-looking part of the tree, I love it, man. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, that whole CD layout, the disc, everything, that's all me. Dabble in the graphic art thing. I ripped that tree thing from somewhere, and I slapped it with this thing, and I slapped it with that thing. And we just, again, this whole thing was done in-house, man, from production, recording, everything. So we all are very self-sufficient. I guess we're probably going to recycle ourselves upon death, you know, and so – Yeah, but thanks for just taking the entire record in as a whole, and I hope everyone who hears this does the same.
Oh, absolutely. And you folks, you can get the record, get it directly if you can. You can get it anywhere, but I always tell people, if you get it, you know, they always ask me, where's the best place to buy music of, you know, the bands you have on the show and whatnot? And I always say, well, the merch table. There's always a merch table at every show. It's fantastic. But if you're, you know, you're in Spain or someplace and they're not there, try to, if you can, get it directly from the artist. Because, you know, it's a big industry secret. I'm not going to be the one to spill the beans on it. You can Google research yourself. iTunes don't work for free. I have nothing against iTunes. They should be paid for what they do. But, man, you would be amazed if you know what the cut is on that. That's all I'm saying about that.
Jamie, without a doubt, and I appreciate that. You know, I've never pirated one piece of music in my entire life. I mean, just from an integral standpoint, you know, we're not doing this to, you know, make millions. By your point, sir, I appreciate that, you know, if you can throw a penny towards the effort, we all really appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, and it's real easy to do, folks. All you got to do is get over to that 7thandneverband.com, and you just scroll down a little bit, and it's all right there. It's on the home page. I don't know. We'll talk after the show, Richie. $10 for the CD? This should be 20.
Right?
No, I'm kidding. I'm giving you a hard time. But what a deal. That's a fantastic deal. But there's cool swag on here, too, cool shirts and stuff like that. I dig it. Check all those out, people. 7thofneverband.com, and pick it up. Very, very cool. You can also listen, and they even, here's the cool thing, they have a lyric sheet on there as well. So there you go. How about that? It's amazing. Very, very cool. Well, have a great one, Richie, and have a great holiday. Best to your son and the missus, and thanks so much for being on the show. Really, really appreciate it.
To you and yours as well, Jamie. Thanks so much, man. Take care.
Absolutely. And folks, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. This show, of course, will be converted to a podcast and pushed out on all the various social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms. That's a whole new thing now. We're on about 150 of them. I know everybody's like, well, hey, last week you said you're on 100. Well, I got an email being corrected. We're actually on like 157, if you want to get technical. That's a whole thing. Thanks to all the new listeners. That's very, very cool. If you are listening to the show in the future on one of these services or whatnot, hello from the past. Do me a quick favor, especially if you're on Apple Podcasts listening to the show. Hit that ratings and review. It doesn't cost anything, and it keeps us right up at the top of the page. And boy, that just pisses off all my ex-girlfriends. No, I'm kidding. They probably don't know about it, but it does keep the lights on around here because it. You know, it's a lot easier when we're on the top of the page when I talk to our advertisers. So it's a good thing. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm off for the weekend. We will see you next Tuesday. Have a good holiday, everybody. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.